This is Susan Robb for Teachers for a New Era.
I'm talking with Jennifer Choldenko, author most recently of a book called If a Tree Falls at Lunch Period, which is by Harcourt for ages 9 to 12. She's also the author of a book called Al Capone Does My Shirts, which was a Newbery Honor book, a New York Times bestseller with film rights that have been optioned, and also a Kirkus Reviews Best Book of the Year, and also a book that was selected as a Children's Booksellers Award Favorite Novel of the Year. One of the things I thought interesting about If a Tree Falls at Lunch Period is that Richie Partington, who does a newsletter and online called Richie's Picks, said that he felt that If a Tree Falls at Lunch Period is Jennifer Choldenko's best book yet, which is high praise from someone like that. So Jennifer, let me first ask you about this book and your inspirations for this book, which deals with some pretty serious issues.
Yes, If a Tree Falls at Lunch Period came about in kind of a strange way. I guess I first decided that I would write about an overweight girl because the fat issues are very near and dear to my heart, and I thought that would be a really fun character to start with. And then something happened at a local school that made me really look at the racial situation as it stands now in the county where I live. And it was basically a car accident that occurred at a school. And one driver backed into another and then took off. And the driver in the car behind happened to be a Hispanic woman. And I had the opportunity to talk to the woman who drove off, and she basically said she drove off because the woman was Hispanic and she felt she would be blamed for existing dings on her car. And I was really shocked because I live in a city that I can see Berkeley right across the bay, and I think of Berkeley as really a symbol of equality. So it was strange to me that this happened in 2003, and it made me really relook at issues of race, which are really important to me.
And this book is really interesting. The characters are fascinating. You have Kirsten, and you have who's a girl who's white, and she has a mother who has a lot of objectives for her in terms of her status and all of that. And then a character named Walk, who is a boy who's black, who comes to this school, and he's a brilliant kid, and he's dealing with racial issues, and so you have a very interesting mix of characters. Tell me your feelings about some of the different the interplay between these different characters.
Well, first of all, I have to say that I had such a blast writing this book. It was really fun. When I was writing it, I hadn't really planned it out. I had originally planned one thing, and then I decided very early that that wasn't going to work, and so I started developing the characters, and they took off on their own. So I was writing it because I couldn't wait to find out what happened next. It was really strange. So I guess some of the issues that came out from observations. I spent a lot of time observing the city in Marin County that is most African-American. I spent some time in those schools. Also, when I was a kid in seventh grade, I was bused to a predominantly African-American school. So I thought about skin color at that age a lot. And so I think that came out while I was writing about it, because I remember I never really thought about the fact that I was white. I never really gave it any thought at all until I went to a school that was predominantly black. And then all of a sudden I wore my skin color everywhere I went. And I began to see how difficult that was, that it was something that I had to overcome. And I know that that is an experience that many Americans have every day. And it really struck me.
In a case like that, I would have thought or would think would be living kind of in two worlds, because in certain places, you know, being white would be something you didn't have to think about.
Exactly. You know, I'm invisible in a white world. You know, nobody even thinks about my skin color, and that is such a luxury. And I saw that at a very early age. And so when I began to, you know, I'm writing book after book about 6th and 7th grade, and eventually my own experience starts burbling up, I think.
And you talked about having the characters and the book take off in their own directions. Does that happen in your books commonly, that that the characters take life and then they take you where they're going?
Absolutely. In fact, I know that if I stick to my original plan, the book is probably not going to be very good. Because the characters, when they come to life, decide, you know, I'm not going to do it that way. I wouldn't say it that way. And pretty soon, they wouldn't do it that way either. And they've taken off. And that so that's always a really good sign.
So do you have some characters you disagree with?
Absolutely. But I guess one of the challenges for me is learning to love the characters that I don't agree with. Because if I hate a character, then I telegraph that so early in the way I write. So I have to find some in. And for me, the difficult part in If a Tree Falls at Lunch Period was loving Kirsten's mom. Because she is a difficult character, and she does make choices that I don't agree with. But I began to realize that she, even despite that, she really loved her husband and she loved her kids. And so somehow that gave me more compassion for her, which was important.
And I thought it was interesting in the book. She certainly is an interesting character who you come to understand more over time. And Sylvia, who's Walk's mother, is also a very interesting, you know, very complex character you come to find out. It's when you write about family situations, are you balancing what you're doing with focusing on kids' situations and their parents so that the kids are coming to understand the adults differently?
Well, my goal is always to make every character rounded. I don't like any flat characters. Even, you know, a periphery character has to have depth. And I don't intentionally try to make people understand each other, but as the story progresses, I discover things. I always discover things in books that I didn't know. I don't start out with something that all set. I discover, oh, that's what that's about. And so, you know, on the page, that discovery happens.
Now, you have a character in here, Brianna, who's quite a sophisticated bully. Tell me a little bit about her.
Well, actually, I was observing at Mill Valley Middle School, and I saw this girl walking down the hall sort of singing. And she was so without any self-consciousness that I began to think, oh, yes, I'm going to take that and really play with it. And so I guess I had, in a way, I had fun with Brianna because I went all out. But I do think that sort of this air of entitlement that she has is something that I see in kids that are been given an awful lot, and she has, without really a lot of limits.
That topic of entitlement is something that I've heard from other authors, you know, when they're visiting schools, that they're seeing some of that about this generation of kids. I mean, do you think that's a particular thing about this group?
No, I think they're not at all. I mean, I feel like when people say, oh, kids today, they're, you know, they're different than they used to be, and they are different, but I think human nature is the same, and so it just manifests itself slightly different for, you know, depending upon which generation and what influences are there. So I'm not one that thinks, oh, the kids are worse today. I don't think that at all.
Mm-hmm. What about for you, what are the important things to you when kids, I mean, what you want to convey to kids in your writing, or what, you know, what gets you up in the morning and makes you want to do this?
Well, first and foremost, I want to write a book that keeps kids reading. Because if I don't do that, then I have no business in this business. And so making a compelling read is always my first my first goal in everything. But then after that, it's not that I'm trying to teach anything. It's just I think that who I am comes out, and what I believe comes out naturally without me trying to artificially implant some kind of theme on it. The situation dictates what the theme is going to be, but it isn't. It just comes naturally, organically out of the manuscript.
Now, what do kids tell you about your books?
What I hear a lot is that my characters are very real. The kids are really struck by it's not like a book. It's like they're characters they know, and that is really important to me because I think character is really everything.
Now, in this book, you did alternating voice chapters with Kirsten and with Walk. Tell me about when you're writing, how does format play in for you?
Well, again, it comes out of what it is that I'm trying to do. And I felt for this book, it was really important to have both Walk's perspective and Kirsten's perspective, that if I just wrote it from Kirsten's perspective, I would be making him voiceless. And that was really, to me, that seemed like a big sin. I knew he needed to have a voice in this book. And his perspective had to balance hers, and seemed like the best way to do that would be to do alternating chapters. I tried lots of different things, and so I would try them, and this is the one that really struck.
And I won't even discuss the ending, but it's a fascinating turn of events. And was that one of the things that you were surprised at?
I got about, you know, a third of the way into the book before I really realized what was happening. And then all of a sudden I thought, oh my gosh, that is what their connection is. Because I didn't know what their connection was. And then it just happened. And it was so exciting when I came to that. But I have to say that I really enjoyed doing plot twists. So there are other plot twists in this book. I really discovered the plot twist in this book.
So in a last thing I wanted to ask you about, what are you working on next? Can you talk about it? Is it too soon?
Well, actually, I'm working on another Alcatraz book, what I hope to be the second in the trilogy. And so I'm working hard on it because I want it to be as good as Al Capone does my shirts.
Well, that would be good, given the response that that one got. What about one other thing? Do you have an interest in writing for other age groups, do you think?
I like to write for younger age groups. I actually have a picture book coming out in September called Louder Lily, which is illustrated by S.D. Schindler. So I like writing for younger age groups. I don't really want to write for older age groups because I really never turned 14. I'm sort of stuck 11, 12, 13. And it would be too much of a stretch. I would have to imagine everything, whereas when I write now, I just naturally write for a 12-year-old. So I think I'm in the right place. And I have so many books, so many novels I want to write. I just, you know, hope I live long enough to write them all.
It's a good place to be. When some people worry about writer's block, it's a really good place to be. Well, Jennifer Childenko, thank you very much. Author of If a Tree Falls at Lunch Period, from Harcourt.
Thank you very much, Susan. I really had fun with this.